Hello and welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 71. Today we have Jennifer Nichols Parnell on the line and myself, Natalie Gafuri. And we have all kinds of great things to talk about today. We're going to talk about my struggle with supplementing with formula and kind of the difficulty in breastfeeding I've been having, how texting is hurting our kids literally, how you may or may not be ready to have a baby, and Jennifer's trials and tribulations of transitioning to a toddler bed. And make sure to listen to the whole podcast because we are going to be announcing the winner of our Pottery Barn Kids Halloween costume giveaway. That's been a really popular one. So keep listening. Stay tuned. So good morning, Jennifer.
Morning. How are things in the Gafuri household, the new household?
They're going pretty well. I mean, things are still very busy and, you know, it's still kind of crazy getting everything juggled around, but we're working it out. You know, one of our big challenges lately, you know, once we got kind of settled into the house and Dominic is getting used to the new baby is, Zachary just hasn't been gaining weight. You know, I wrote a post about it a little while ago about how I was struggling to keep up with the calories. And then, you know, kind of decided that wasn't all of the problem because, you know, I started eating a ton and he actually started gaining a little bit of weight and he still wasn't gaining weight. So we've actually had to start supplementing with formula, which is something I have really mixed feelings about. I was really kind of proud of the fact that I never had to give Dominic formula. And I don't really know why. Like, there's nothing wrong with formula. You know, almost everybody at some point gives some formula. But I just never had to. And I thought, okay, that's an accomplishment. And kind of wanted to have the same goal for Zachary. And it, you know, at 6 weeks was out the window because the doctor basically said, you know, he's just not getting enough. We're not sure why. But he needs more. And, you know, last thing a mom wants is a hungry baby. So, and he has that milk protein intolerance. So I've been doing soy formula, which he actually, it seems to agree with him. He's a little bit constipated, but aside from that, you know, he's doing well with it and he's gaining weight and, you know, I just, formula is so confusing. Like there are so many different ones. I basically just asked Jennifer, what did you use? I know you did a lot of research.
I did because I too didn't really want to supplement, but my milk supply started going down when she started sleeping through the night. And if I really had been determined, I could have woken up during that 2:30 feeding when she had been sleeping through it and started pumping, which it sounds like you are doing still.
Times will pump in the middle of the night. Not so much anymore. It's usually I'm just trying to do it during the day.
Yeah. And it's tough because as a new mommy, when you're finally getting that sleep again, maybe I was a little selfish and my milk supply went down because she was sleeping more. So I did have to look into formula. We started supplementing around 6 months and I was very proud to make it to 6 months and was very impressed that you had made it all the way to a year. That was amazing to me. And I think Natalie Morris hasn't really had to deal with it. But you're right about formula being confusing because I didn't want to have to deal with it myself. And I looked online and there are all these weird names for formula like Similac or Enfamil. And
they have so many different formulations of each brand too.
Different formulations. You hear things about the linings in the cans. And
I hadn't even thought about that. I forgot.
Sorry, not trying to figure out anymore. And then there was this whole hubbub about the DHA, the addition of that, which I guess is that, what would you call it?
Omega, right?
Yeah, omega-3s that improve the brain and eye development.
Right.
And I guess maybe that wasn't in line with some standards and wasn't accurate. So there was a big deal about that a year or two ago. But anytime you hear about recalls and things like that, you freak out and you get really nervous about giving something to your baby that you don't know exactly what's going into it, even though we don't really know what's going on in our bodies either. I mean, we could be eating, you know, a sandwich that we don't know what chemicals necessarily are in that as well.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
It's true because, I mean, I think in a post that we had written a while back, you know, BPA doesn't go through boobies. Well, it does.
Right.
You know, through any kind of food we consume that has BPA or anything like that, our babies are getting that too. Right. So I ended up going with, I think it was Best Earth or something like that. It's been so long. I'll have to go back. But I believe there was this one formula company called Nature One, which supposedly has a very good formulation and it's pretty close to all natural and they're very strict on their standards. Oh, bless you, baby Zachary.
Sorry, guys. We've got Zachary sitting in on the podcast today and he's got a little bit of a cold.
Oh, bless you. It's just the perils of being the second born, right?
Yeah. He has gotten all kinds. This is his second cold in 2 months. So,
oh, poor guy. Well, he sounds like he's handling it well.
Yeah, he's not so bad.
So the formula was Nature's One, and I never tried it. I was discouraged by the fact that it was pretty expensive, and the container seemed smaller. Mm-hmm. But you know, when it comes to what you're putting in your baby's body, we all will make some sacrifices. So,
right.
I never got to try out whether Elle would like it or not. She didn't take to some formulas. Did Zachary have that problem?
We've only tried two. The doctor gave us a sample of a Similac soy when we went into the office, and she first recommended that we do it. And I just figured, okay, well, you know, we'll just take the sample and we'll, it's, you know, a pretty small can, and we'll do this, and hopefully we won't have to do formula and I won't have to buy any, and this will be it. And it didn't really work out that way. So I did buy, a can of the Nature's Best organic soy. And so far he likes that.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't had any, you know, he doesn't refuse it. And his poops have been actually a little bit better since we've been doing that one than on the Similac. But, you know, it's like $25 a can or something. And I just, you know, I obviously, you know, you feed your baby and that's the important thing. But it's funny because we just bought this house and I, you know, have a pretty good budget. And the fact that he is doing formula and he hasn't been doing well with the cloth diaper, so we've been doing a lot of disposables.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I hadn't, you know, like, not only is this not the natural way of raising the baby that I really was able to do with Dominic, but it's expensive.
It is expensive. Wow. I hadn't really thought of that. Because it does. Those disposable diapers add up. And cloth diapers are an investment themselves the first time around. So
right,
you're excited
to. These diapers. And I actually have some on loan from Natalie Del Conte, Natalie Morris. And so, that, you know, that's helpful. But, you know, he had an awful diaper rash from basically the time we got home from the hospital till he was about 6 weeks old. And it's finally gone. We used disposables for about a month nonstop. And just yesterday I tried to switch back to cloth. So we'll see if that's going to work out for us this time or not. So I hope it does.
Fingers crossed. I know it's nice to have a little bit of extra money.
Yeah, and I just miss my fluffy bottom. He's just so cute in his little disposables. But I did try, slightly off topic, get a sample of the Honest Company's diapers.
Uh-huh.
And I liked those. So if we do end up having to do disposables, I think I'm going to give those a try. And they seem really reasonable.
Is that a combo between cloth and...
They're totally disposables. They're
interesting.
And they're just made. They're all plant based materials, and they come in cute patterns, which is fun. And mm-hmm. when I did the cost breakdown, I think they were like 20 something cents a piece, which is about the same as the Huggies or the Pampers Swaddlers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it might be something for you to look into for number two if you're. If you're thinking about going the disposables route, because they do the autumn, it's like $80 a month for diapers and wipes, which seemed pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're kind of more eco-friendly and a little bit less chemical intensive. So might be a thought.
So you can't purchase through Amazon. It's through their site.
You do a subscription through their site.
Because I know Amazon is where I purchased the formula and the diapers because you get the subscribe and save. Is that what you do?
I haven't had to do that yet because I haven't been having enough. Like I ordered one can of formula and one package of diapers. So I probably will have to do the subscribe and save on the formula, but I'm hoping not to do that on the diapers.
Yeah. Well, it did save me a lot of money the last time. So for anyone out there, sign up. And Amazon Mom is great too because it gives you the Prime shipping where you get 2-day free shipping.
Yeah, the Prime was awesome. So I do want to talk about another tech story in the news. We're talking about Amazon. We'll jump over to smartphones. I found this very interesting that the rate of accidents in young kids especially are going up after years and years and years of decline. So one thing that doctors and researchers think is causing this is basically inattention from parents who are on their cell phones. So, you know, your smartphone is hurting your kid or can potentially hurt your kid. What do you think about this, Jennifer?
I would completely agree with this. I am guilty of this. I try to watch Ellen, and I get distracted because I pull out my phone to take a picture of her, and I say, oh, hey, I have a text from Natalie. I better respond to her. I don't want her to think I'm ignoring her. And the next thing I know, I hear Elle crying because maybe she fell and scratched her knee. And this is literally between the span of like 0 to 60 seconds, you know?
Yeah, they move so fast and they, you know, have very little inhibition. So if you take your eyes off them for a minute, you never know what they're going to get into.
Yeah, you know, and I love the fact that we have this technology. I mean, I personally, I think I'm semi-addicted to my phone. I need to put it away more. But yeah, on the playground and stuff, sometimes I feel like we go to the park so I can let her run and play and burn off some energy while mommy sits on the bench and chills out and, you know, looks at her phone and kind of has a little bit of me time, especially being pregnant now. You just want to find something that they're going to be content with and that you can chill out for a little bit.
Right, yeah. Get a little bit of downtime. That's funny. There's actually another post that we thought about talking about on this podcast about that mom at the park, the one who likes to hang out and chill and relax on herself, being angry at the mom who's like the helicopter mom who's in the sandbox with the kids and saying, you know, just relax.
Right, and I think there's a balance because, I mean, with Elle and her age, I was at the park with Alex yesterday, and I sort of felt like maybe the helicopter mom because we were in a new park that you can't necessarily always see your child, and they have these big ramps that they run up that make them really high. And you know, there are things for big kids too where they have the cutouts where the poles they can slide down, so you have this fear of your child tumbling down those. So I stay on her pretty close, not like super close, but enough where I don't feel like she's going to break her neck when she is going to go down the slide or something, because accidents happen.
Oh, yeah.
And the article that you were referring to there, I didn't really like the tone of the author because, I don't know, I just felt like she was being so harsh on this mom that was really trying hard. And I feel like as moms, we should support each other. And yeah, some people can be annoying, but there are reasons to stay close to your kids in some instances. And I think when my child is older, I think in this article, they were 4. So that's fine. I think my child may have be of more sound mind than my 2-year-old.
Right.
But my 2-year-old needs me to be, you know, a little more hands-on with her. And believe me, I'd rather sit back on the park bench and chill. But if she's like grabbing my hand and saying mommy and pulling me over to this little thing to spin her around, then I'm going to go with her, you know?
Right. I agree. There's a happy medium. And you're right about this age. You know, if Dominic's threatening to, you know, lay on someone and squish them or give them a little smack, I like to be close by so I can help them work that out, because at this age they're not really able to do that on their own. But I think you're right, as you know, as they get older, hopefully we can be more and more hands off.
Yeah, but I mean, it was interesting to see in this texting article that the rise in injuries was up among all age groups except for the 15 to 19 year old. So, I mean, kids still can fall, so we still have to think about, you know, not trusting them as much as we would like to when we have our cell phones and stuff. But you're so good at that. I always am so I feel like maybe I'm not as good of a mom as I should be when I'm with you, because you're always, like, right there with Dominic, and I'm like, oh, this is my time with Natalie. I'm chilling. This is mommy time.
I'm right there with Dominic because I want to prevent him from doing anything that he is going to hurt Elle, especially. Elle doesn't like to play rough like Dominic likes to play.
Well, he's gotten really good about it.
He's gotten much better, although he's had – the last couple of days have not been good days as far as that goes. But, you know, there's bound to be a little regression with all that's going on. But, yeah, he is much better than he used to be.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, Elle is sort of a bully magnet his defense. I mean, we went to just playtime or story time at the library the other day, and 3 kids like pushed her. And these weren't even like bigger kids. They're like younger than her kids. It's like, what is the deal? And Reese still likes to pinch her a little bit, but it's more like love pats. I mean, she's so sweet to Elle. She shares her Minnie Mouse and stuff, but I think she just gets so excited that she doesn't know what she wants to do. Like,
right.
Hug her, kiss her. So don't feel too bad.
I wonder what makes her, you know, it's just because she's so cute.
I don't know.
She's so, like, cute and calm. People are like, come on, let's play.
I really don't know. It must be some kind of scent or something that only toddlers pick up.
It's her toddler pheromones.
But I wanted to point out something in that texting article. There was a sociologist from Stanford that had said something that struck me, and it's sort of obvious, but he was just saying, you know, even though we think we're watching and we are looking down at our phones, it takes you a bit of time to refocus. Sort of like when we're working, it takes us a while to refocus on the task that we were trying to work on when we were distracted. And it says, you know, what mobile technologies do is essentially remove you from the situation, and the ability to anticipate problems is much more reduced. But I took it more as it really removes you from the situation and the moment with your child. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going to have to consciously put my phone away and not take it out and use that time more as bonding as opposed to just chilling out.
And I think it's a good lesson for our kids too. Like the other day during lunch, my phone rang and Dominic said, you know, "I'll get it, mommy." And I said, "No, you know, we don't always have to answer the phone when it rings. We're having lunch right now." Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, showing them that they're more important than the phone is important, because then they will kind of grow up knowing that people come first. People right. in person come first, not people who are on the other line texting. So, you know, my teenage niece had her 13th birthday party, and there were 10 kids all sitting on the couch texting.
And it's oh my gosh.
What are you doing? And some of them are texting each other who are sitting right next to each other on the couch.
It's That's so sad.
Come on, kids.
Yeah, so. It's like when you go out to dinner sometimes with friends or whatever, and you look around the restaurant, and there are a lot of people that have their smartphones out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and something else to point out in the article is they're talking about the specific injuries that, you know, children undergo from this. And I was surprised to see that they said they saw a 17% jump involving equipment like nursery equipment, 31%, sorry, among nursery equipment like the changing table. Like, what parent is changing their child and answers a text message?
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I missed that part.
And the really, really scary one was swimming pools. Yeah. It climbed 36%. And I guess it's the most common form of childhood injury.
That's terrifying. The house we almost bought before we bought this one had a pool in the back. And one of my must dues for the person who was selling is that they had to put a cover on it. One of those ones that you can, like, an elephant can stand on kind of thing covers.
Yeah.
Consider it, because I couldn't fathom. And I think even if we had had that, I wouldn't have been able to relax in the backyard with him. So I'm glad that we didn't end up getting that house.
Yeah, there are benefits to all kinds of things that you... Unanswered prayers, right?
Exactly. Speaking of prayers, I know people are probably praying to win the Pottery Barn Kids Halloween costume. So, Jennifer, you want to talk a little bit about the contest and announce our big winner?
I do. So Pottery Barn Kids was kind enough to provide a costume for one of our winners. And they introduced some new costumes this year. They had family costumes. Did you see these, Natalie?
Yeah, super cute.
They're super cute, like two chefs and a lobster, which makes it so much easier for families. Because I know my daughter's going to be a spider for Halloween, and I'm still trying to figure out what Tom and I are going to be, if we're even going to dress up. I don't want to be a Scrooge on Halloween, if that's what you would call it.
You know, like, spider web stuff that you could, like, hang up in the house and just, like, wear black and, like, stretch it all over you or something.
That's true. Or we could probably get one of those, like, skeleton sweatsuits.
Oh, yeah.
They should do one of those for moms, like pregnant moms, you know, and have, like, the fetus in the belly.
That's really creepy. I don't think I like that. Like a skeleton fetus?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
So they have fairies and all kinds of really cute, fun costumes, all the way up to teens and tweens. I think that might be on pbteen.com. So check them out. But we wanted to congratulate Sarah Dupree for being the winner of our kids' costume. So you can choose one of three. I'm sure she has left it in the comments, but we had almost 400 entries for this giveaway. So I haven't even gotten to see what she had selected. But congratulations. I mean, it's probably perfect timing, because you're just starting to get stressed out about that costume.
I know. I just realized the other day that I really want to make Dominic's costume. And it's pretty simple this year. But I realized the Halloween party for his preschool is kind of like mid-October. So I'm like, I have no time left. And my husband's like, no, just don't make it this year. You have too many other things going on. But first of all, I don't know if I can even find a Lorax costume somewhere. And second of all, I really want to make it. So... hopefully.
Hey, well, Pottery Barn has a Lorax costume.
Oh, do they? I didn't even see that.
They do. And then, you know, if you want to sacrifice the Lorax and get another costume while you make the other one for real Halloween. I was on Craigslist the other day and they have tons of used costumes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, my mother's club has a bunch of used costumes too. I think that's brilliant. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to buy a brand new costume because they wear it once. Although Dominic is still wearing his alligator costume every once in a while from last year. He wants to put it on. So
that is so cute. We'll post a picture of our costumes from last year on the blog. I have the kids together, so that'll be really cute. I started making one costume for Elle and then switched over to a spider because she's obsessed with them. And
because I thought you were doing a kitty cat.
I was doing a clown before.
Oh, a clown, that's right.
Yeah, and she just is obsessed with spiders. And it's so cute because now when people ask her what she's going to be for Halloween, she's like, a spider! So,
oh, that's cute.
I love the fact that she's excited about her costume.
Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah, it's fun when they can kind of start to get into it. I remember that last year Dominic was, you know, said he was an alligator, called it an aganana at that point. And, you know, would go chomp chomp. It was very cute. This year he's very excited about being a Lorax with a big mustache.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, yeah, they have a super cute one on Pottery Barn Kids. So check it out.
I will check that out. So I think, was it Alex that found this article and sent it around about the Jezebel article about, are you ready for a baby? If you think you are, maybe you're not.
Yes, and it's hilarious. Jezebel.com cracks me up.
What's your favorite one of these on this list?
So this lady put together a list of this what does she call it? A boot camp for actual baby readiness that someone should do a whole year before they even conceive. Just to make sure they're ready. I don't know if people have time for that, but I thought this list was hilarious. The funniest one on here was, to me, sorry, I'm reading through the list really quick, was wake up every 2 hours, punch yourself in the face, walk around for 28 minutes, pleading in gibberish.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep and repeat. I thought that was hilarious. And the other one was practice wrestling a large slippery fish. It says 3 times a day. And then down below it says, then dress it seasonally appropriate outfit, including hat or jacket. Then go back, remove all the clothing and apply sunscreen. Redress fish.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's pretty dead on. I sent this to a girlfriend who is getting ready to have a baby or thinking about having a baby and said, you know, this is something to keep in mind because I was talking to her on the phone and, you know, I was kind of telling her, you know, the ins and outs and, you know, what I did if I stopped drinking when I was trying to conceive and all that kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, I can't even remember the last time I saw the inside of a bar. And she like gasped. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if you're ready.
The sacrifices you make. Actually, I did see the inside of a bar this past weekend. I'm very proud of myself.
Wow.
Going into the city.
This weekend?
I went to a friend's birthday party in the city, but I wore my thigh-high stiletto boots.
Wow. Hot prego.
Yeah. Well, I can only manage for like an hour or two, but I was very proud of myself, and it was a lot of fun. But this list was hilarious, and there are two other ones I wanted to throw out there, and then I also thought of a few that I hadn't put on the list. I don't know if you that came to mind when you were doing it, but one of them was like make 24 hours of baby crying audio. Hit play the moment you take a phone call. Fired up your computer. It's still like that with a toddler. It's like anytime I'm about to do something, like literally I was going to sit down and eat my dinner the other night and I was like, pee pee.
Yeah.
So we have to go back to the potty and she sits on it because it's the big potty. I have to go in there with her. And she's funny because she doesn't always want to get on the potty, but when she gets on there, she doesn't want to get off. Does Dominic do this?
No, he's pretty much down to business. He sits, he does his business and he gets off.
No, she will sit there. She'll probably sit there for 30 minutes.
Wow.
And she wants me to close the door and leave her in there. No, no. And then if I start walking down the hallway towards the door, she's like, stop, stop, no.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, one of my favorites on here is socialize with friends in 18-second increments.
Seriously, that was my life at the park yesterday. I was trying to have a conversation, and then, you know, one of them runs off the other direction.
Yeah, the park's impossible. I decided playdates, if you really want to, like, talk to the person, should only be held at somebody's house because the park, you know, the kids are running in either which way, and there's no way you can have a conversation in the park. At home, it's a little bit more manageable because you can kind of put them in one room and, you know, you only have to break up fights. But yeah, that was my favorite one.
That was that's a very good point. I need to try that one. The one that I really loved too was imagine a mental written list of responsibilities for each day. Tear it in half, burn one piece, take a literal poop on the other one. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't get anything done.
No. I seriously, in between trying to get my list done and then forgetting half of it because of the baby brain, doesn't work. I was thinking of adding, bring a stuffed animal in with you on the potty every time you go. And then the other one I thought of was clean a room and have your husband walk behind you and just destroy it while you're doing it. Oh,
good one.
So
yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, it's lively having these little ones around the house, that's for sure. And I bet it's even livelier when you can't contain them in a crib.
No, and that's a really good point. We can move over to our toddler bed transition. And I, too, was feeling pretty proud of myself after we made the transition. And I was like, this is amazing. This is going great. Because after the 5 days of getting into the transition, our daughter seemed very happy at bedtime. She was going to sleep. She would lay there after we left and not cry, which made us happy. And I felt like it was because she knew she had the freedom to get up, but knew it was bedtime. Well, now things have gotten a little hairy because she is, well, let's see, 2 nights ago, she didn't go to sleep until 10:30.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, yeah, every time we kept putting her in her bed, she would get up. She'll, like, get up, tiptoe out the door, close the door, tiptoe down the hall, look at us, then run in there at full throttle.
Oh, like, that's with funny.
Cutest smile on your face. It's one of those things that my husband's like, L. bed, you know, is being all firm, and I'm so not trying to smile because she's just so cute. It melts your heart. Like, how can you say, like, or she'll say big bed, which means our bed.
Oh.
And she wants to sleep in our bed, which has gotten kind of bad because she'll wake up around after we finally get her to lay in her bed and go to sleep, which I'm still not closing the door because I can't handle her feeling like we're trapping her somewhere.
Right.
Even though I guess she was trapped in a crib. I don't know. I just don't like it. So after we finally get her to go to sleep, we just keep going back and putting her in the bed and saying, no, it's bedtime. No, it's bedtime.
Right.
I tried something new last night since we have the video monitor. Every time she would make the move to get up, I would say, Elle, lay back down. And she did it, actually.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to keep going at that. So she's like, Mommy has a magical eye.
Right. She can tell.
She can tell when I'm getting up. So the other problem we're facing is that she, about 5 a.m, we'll hear a little pitter-patter and she'll run into our room and get in bed with us, which, one hand, I love the snuggling. She's actually turned into a really good sleeper, and it's fine because we've had our mommy-daddy quality time and, you know, we're all sleeping and that's what we matter. But on the other hand, it's really creating a bad habit, and when the baby comes, it's not going to be good.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah. So any thoughts there?
I think you just have to do what you're doing at night when she gets out of bed. You know, as much as you, if you really don't want her in bed with you, you guys have to get out and just put her back in bed and just keep doing that. You know, the like not talking or just saying, you know, being very kind of straight faced with her, trying not to make it a game.
Right.
I mean, because I don't know what you're planning on doing with the baby, if you're going to, you know, have a bassinet or if you're going to have him in bed with you or, you know, what your plan is. But if it involves him being close by like that, it's going to be complicated to have her getting in bed too, because she's, you know, not only going to maybe want to play with him, but there's always the, you know, idea of, you know, her squishing him or hurting him or, you know, by accident, of course. So if it's something that you don't want her doing, you probably need to nip it in the bud right away.
Yeah, and we are actually going to give that a go when my husband gets back from a business trip he's on. But for now, when he's gone, I like having her sleep with me because I get scared sleeping alone in my house. And it's nice to have her there. But yeah, I agree. I think you're right. We're going to actually try the bassinet. We're going to give the Bjorn's new bassinet a go.
Yeah, that looks really nice.
Yeah, and see how that goes in the room. And I think we're going to ideally transition her to the to her crib pretty quickly. But we'll see. You never know. Every baby's different.
Right. Yeah, since you have the separate room, it makes sense. I know we put Dominic in his crib at 8 weeks, and it was awesome, and there was no problem with it at all.
And we did Elle at 5 days.
Really?
Yeah, she just did not like the other bassinet that we had. We haven't tried the Bjorn yet, but she didn't like it. And I don't know if it was just being in the room or hearing us or what, but interesting. We moved her really quickly and she started sleeping really well.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, the bassinet we'll definitely use for naps and things and at night when we're nursing. And if the baby's open to it, hopefully we'll have him in the other room like 2 weeks in or so.
Yeah. Yes. Zachary really likes to snuggle. I never had Dominic in bed with me ever, but Zachary loves it. He doesn't do it all the time. At the beginning, he did it a lot. Last night, he was fussy, so I pulled him into bed with me because I was tired. And I know he'll sleep if he's in bed. But it's sweet. Like, almost always he wakes up at like 5 or so for a feeding, and I almost always pull him in bed and just kind of feed him laying on my side, and we just kind of sleep together for the rest of the morning, which mm-hmm. is really nice, like to be able to kind of snuggle with him in the morning. But I know I probably am creating a bad habit, but I don't feel any time pressure to break it because he can kind of stay with us I'm planning to have him stay in our room until he's only doing until he's going to bed relatively early and sleeping maybe with just one wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still, he's little, so he's still going to bed kind of on the later side.
Right. So do you feel like you're maybe snuggling a little bit because this might be your last?
Maybe. Every day, I told my doctor yesterday, every day I get closer and closer to being 100% sure that we're only having two.
Really?
No. I had my IUD put in yesterday. And it was like the worst thing ever. The first time I got it, it hurt, but not like a lot. This time it was killer. She said when you have every time you have a C-section, your cervix gets tighter.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was interesting. So it's harder to, like, because you have to dilate it a little bit to get the thing in.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
So did they give you some sort of hormone to do that? Or did that work?
They just kind of do it manually.
Ooh.
This time she offered me like a general or a local anesthetic, which I thought, oh, okay, that's a great idea. Didn't get any of that last time. I might as well get a little, it's lidocaine, kind of the same stuff they give you at the dentist office. But what she didn't tell me was that it was going to make me feel crazy. Like, it felt so woozy. I thought I was going to pass out. And it hurt because they're giving you injections into your cervix. So I don't know if it was any better to have the anesthetic or not. But yeah, then they use like a little thing and they only have to dilate it a tiny, tiny bit. But still, it's not super comfortable. But I have 5 years of no babies. So I said, this hurts a lot less than having another baby.
That's true. So do you think Sean would consider a vasectomy at some point?
Yeah. I mean, if we decide that we're done, that's definitely the way we'll go. I will not have another one of those put in. So, yeah. Although I told him last night, he was like, well, it's okay. They knock you out for the vasectomy. And I said, no, they don't. You're awake. He's like, that is not happening.
Are you really awake?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
They give you – back in the day, they used to have like a surgery channel where you could watch surgeries on TV. And I watched them do a vasectomy when I was in high school. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. You're totally awake. They basically numb you from the waist down.
Okay. Yeah, but you're numb.
Yeah. So Sean said that that would not happen, which is reasonable because Sean has to lie down to get a shot or he passes out. So I told him if you can do sleep dentistry, there's got to be somebody who will put you to sleep for the vasectomy. So we have 5 years to find somebody to do it.
Well, surely they can put a curtain over him, like the C-section. I mean, he could handle that. So
yeah, I think they did do a curtain, but I don't think he could handle that. I think just knowing what's going on would put him over the edge.
Oh, geez.
He's a big weenie.
Well, he's been pretty strong daddy for you when you need it. So that's the good thing.
Yes, yes. He's a very good daddy. And he'll, gets his flu shot because he knows he has to. But he has to lay down when they do it or else.
That hurts. It hurts. It
Yeah, I got my flu shot right after I had the IUD put in. And I decided that that was actually the way to go because it made the flu shot seem like nothing.
That's a really good point.
Yesterday sucked.
Yeah, it sounds like a hard day. Well, hopefully no more pain for a while.
Seriously, I think
it is flu season, so everyone should get their shots.
Yes, everybody get your flu shots. The little ones can have shots or flu mist, which is the nasal one.
I hadn't heard of the mist.
Yeah, I don't know if – I think it's after 2 they can get it, so I don't know if I was old enough, depending on when you get it. It's just like a little thing they inhale. I haven't quite decided if I'm going to do the mist or the shot. The mist, the pediatrician has a slightly higher incidence of like side effects, like not feeling good after it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't have to get a shot, so I'm going to kind of feel Dominic out on how he feels about the shot. So I think he's actually kind of okay with the shot because he's really into my Band-Aid, and I told him he could get a lollipop, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if that would convince Al. I'll have to wait and see. The last time we went to the pediatrician, she was really upset, and the nurse was going to have to hold her down for something. I can't remember what it was. And then afterwards, the nurse apologized and said, "Can I give you a little toy?" And I was like, "No."
Oh.
Yeah, so it was really sad.
Thing. Yeah, we've been lucky. Dominic's been really good about the pediatrician. He's always been very cooperative, so hopefully that trend will continue. It's, you know, as he's more and more aware, I'm kind of nervous about doing the shots because, you know, as a baby, you know, you just kind of do it and they cry and then they forget about it. But now he really knows what's going on, so I'm a little nervous to see how that's going to go.
Yeah, and you don't have the nursing. That's what I always loved about nursing because they help so much with the shots.
Right.
So, well, I guess that's a wrap, right?
That was a great talk. It's great. I haven't talked to Jennifer very much. I've been kind of buried in babies. So
I've missed you. But we're supposed to see each other tomorrow.
Yes. I'm very excited.
If our plans work, this is our third rescheduling, I think.
These babies. Well, thank you all for joining us today on our Mommy Beta podcast, and congratulations to our Pottery Barn Kids winner of the Halloween costume. So we hope to see everybody back here next week, and remember to keep reading the blog, and if you have input for us, you can send it to mb@mommybeta.com, or you can always Facebook or Twitter us. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.